sounded so cruel and unlike him. When a woman whose daughter was home vexed of a devil come crying to him for his compassionate love to flow to her and his power to flow into healing of her daughter. And she said, "My daughter, Master, my daughter is at home vexed of a devil, and I need help from God, and I've heard that you can help." And she came in that kind of faith and that kind of humility. And he said to her, "You know, if you were a Jew, you could claim the covenant, but you're a Gentile, and you really can't lay claim to the covenant." So he gave her resistance. Can you say amen? And he told her point blank. And he used a term today that's so politically incorrect, and it seems so unlike God and unlike Christ. You know what he said? Because everyone outside the covenant was considered very low, and he said, "It's not meet. It's not appropriate to take the children's bread and give it to dogs." Now, you got every opportunity to get your feathers ruffled. Did he say that? Is that in your scripture? Yes, he did. He gave her resistance. Sometimes, you know, he moved. He was saying, this is covenant stuff for covenant people. This bread is exclusive. He preached first, what? To the Jew. And then the door opened to the Gentiles. But the door wasn't open to the Gentiles yet. Amen? First, it was going to be rejected by the majority of the Jewish people. Then it would be opened wide to the Gentile. Amen. Said a man prepared a feast, invited his own. They wouldn't come, so he went out in the highway and hedge and brought people that were not even part of the family to come in. And he told us to go get them and bring them in. Amen. That his table might be filled. But at this point in time, he said, this stuff is exclusively for the nation of Israel. This is children's bread, and it's not meat to take it and give it to those that are outside the covenant. Amen? And you know what this woman did? She worshipped him, saying, "That's the truth, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs from the master's table." She passed the test. Can you say amen? She passed the test. Now, most of us are so emotional and so sensitive. Amen. If we pray and something doesn't happen, we interpret that, "Well, God don't want to bless me," and then we get the mopes. Everybody say the mopes. How many know when you got them? How many can tell? Amen. Well, let me clue you in on something. Not only do you know when you got them, we all know when you got them too. Because it really shows up. Can you say, man, when you have a mopey attitude, it really shows up. I mean, you go through the motions and you push yourself to do that. But inside, you're moping around. And what God wants you to understand is that is a dangerous thing in your life that you need to personally take authority over and conquer. You can conquer that. Your old flesh likes to feel that way. Even though it feels bad, your flesh says, it feels good to feel bad because now I can feel sorry for myself, give myself this big pity party. And the last thing you need in your life if you really want victory is start giving yourself pity parties. Can you say amen? How many would rather have victory than have people to say, "Oh, poor baby"? Can you say amen? Well, God says, "I want you to have victory too." So there's a situation here where God is saying, you know, there was a murmuring people that wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. There's a new generation here that I want to see blessed, and I want to see rejoicing, and I want to see walk in victory. And you're going to make a decision to cross over Jordan or stay on the other side. By the way, everybody didn't cross. There were still several tribes that stayed on the other side. Can you say amen? And he didn't treat them with a pitying message. He challenged them strongly and said, how long will you be slack to cross over Jordan and possess? Everybody say possess. Possess the land that the Lord thy God has given you. Now that tells me something about God. Once he makes a promise, amen, in his heart, it belongs to you. And he wants you to get it settled in your heart that it's yours so that you'll have the courage and the faith and the confidence to walk over and possess what belongs to you. Can you say amen? There's too much begging and not enough receiving going on among God's people. You don't beg for what God has already provided because he can't give you what you've got. Thank you for the hearty amens. He cannot give you what you got. And once he's given you a promise, he wants you to claim it by faith. That's why the promised land was land to be possessed. So it wasn't enough for God to open Jordan and let them over. They had to go up and dispossess the inhabitants of the land. And the first barrier to the blessing of the promised land. Everybody say barrier to the blessing. The enemy is not going to lay down and let you just walk over into the milk and honey phase of your Christian life. so that you walk around so full of God, you can pour over into other lives and bear witness to the fact that you are in covenant with a God that does, in fact, answer prayer. You're in covenant with a God that is a protector of His people, hallelujah, that you're not constantly ridden over roughshod by the enemy, but there is victory in Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? And you can live a victorious life, and you can get beyond your flesh, and you can get beyond your circumstances, and you can live in a place, and I can live in a place of faith, where we know that no matter what is happening, good, bad, or in between, amen, that everything is in fact working together for good to them that love Him and are the called of His purpose. And we're not distracted and we're not discouraged when things seemingly go wrong, because God is in it all if you love Him. And you're called according to His purpose. Can you say amen? So your rejoicing gets consistent. It doesn't flip on one day and flip off the next. Now your emotions, that's something else again. Your emotions are flaky. I mean, you talk about something crazy. Your emotional man, that part of you is crazy. Amen. You get feeling and you don't know why you feel that way. You ever got up and had one of those days? You ever have one of them days? Can you say amen? Do you ever have one of them days? You get up, you're a Christian, you're a child of the Most High God, but you get up and you don't feel like a child of the Most High God. You know you are in your heart, but you don't feel like it in your body. You don't feel like it in your mind. You just don't feel good. Can you say amen? It's crucial that we come to a place of faith, that we remember the good things of God in our life, who He is to us and who we are in Him, and we quit letting our mood swings defeat us, because everybody got them, preachers included. Preachers have days when they're just loving the flock. And preachers have days when they say, I don't think I can take it anymore. Can you say amen? Preachers have those days. Now, I haven't had that kind of day lately. I'll tell you, I'm still in that phase of, I just want to bless God's people instead of run away from them. Amen? I want to bless them. I want to be a blessing to the Lord's people. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God I survived. Amen. Preaching for all of those years, and God has restored my soul. Amen. And He's not only restored my soul, but He's restored my sense of vision that I want to be a blessing to the Lord's people. I come here to be a blessing. And I found out if I come here to be a blessing, God's going to bless my socks off. Can you say amen? But if I come here with resentment in my heart, amen, then I'm going to have a serious problem. Can you say amen? Amen. If I come here with the mopes, I'm going to have a serious problem getting blessed. It's going to be a job instead of a joy to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ. And once it becomes a job, it's too big a job for me, too heavy a burden for me. But as long as it's a service to the King, if loving you is a service to the King, then I want to keep on doing that, because God will bless me for it. Praise God. There's always going to be barriers to blessing. There's always going to be your personal Jerichos that you have to conquer. If you're going to possess the land that the Lord has given you, you've got to get past those barriers to blessings. Everybody say barriers to blessing. They're always going to be there. You're never going to come to a place of spiritual accomplishment or spiritual growth that you don't face your Jerichos. You're always going to face giants. Amen. The promised land had to be taken by force. And the promised land had to be defended by force. Occasionally, someone would come up and say, we're going to take from you what God has given you. And they had to stand up and claim the covenant. Amen. And if one person did it, God would fight for one person. If 1,000 did it, for 1,000. Amen. If 21,000 wouldn't stand on it, but 300 would, God would take the 300 and give them victory. Amen. If everybody left the pea patch but Shammah and he stood on the covenant, amen, they couldn't take away that pea patch from God's people if one of them decided, I'm not going to give this to the devil. I'm going to stand on the covenant of God. Amen? So that's what happens when you get a blessing and you got it in your heart, and then because of your personal giants and your personal battles, amen, that we begin to back off of it, and Satan comes in and he defrauds us of those good things in our life. We take one giant step forward and two giant steps backward, and now we're discouraged and we're back in the same hole that God drug us out of. Can you say amen? And you know what God wants to teach us? He wants to teach us how to conquer those barriers to blessing. Because unless you possess the promises, even though they're yours. You can't have them unless you possess them. That's why he said, go over and what? Possess the land. And that's why it says these strange scriptures in the New Testament about the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violence take it by force. Can you say amen? When the Jews turned their back, Gentiles began to rush into the kingdom. The Bible said you enter the kingdom of God through much tribulation. Amen. There's going to be a fight against doing that. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? You don't just get saved. You overcome an enemy that'll fight you tooth and toenail on that issue. Can you say amen? But you're in the kingdom tonight. Amen. And you've come into the kingdom through much tribulation. That means Satan really put the pressure on to keep you away from God. But you decided one day, amen, to take that promise that God had promised you. Amen. And the day you decided to, hell couldn't stop you when you made that decision. Can you say amen? You're a Christian tonight because hell couldn't stop you. Because the moment you make that decision, God is going to give you His resources. And they are supernatural. If somebody wants to get saved, nothing Satan can do can keep them from getting saved. Until you want to, nothing God can do or has done will get you saved. But the day that you want to, the day that you're tired of sin and you're tired of the consequences of sin, and the day that you wake up and say, you know, I really don't want to live a defeated life here and end up in hell when all this is over for eternity. I want to live in victory here and go to heaven when I die. The day you decide that, no demon in hell, no habit, no sin can ever hold you from God. Amen? Isn't that good to know? Well, I just want to let you know tonight that you have been supernaturally delivered from Satan's domain. Amen. And you have been supernaturally translated into the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And God wants you to possess all of the promises that He gives in that kingdom. He promised you kingdom righteousness, a standing with Him. Amen. That He gives you by gift when you receive Christ. Amen. To make you bold so that you can come before Him in bold faith, not looking at yourself, but looking at what He's provided. Amen. He gave you something else, too. He gave you access to peace that passes all understanding. It's kingdom peace. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness. It's not for your physical body. It's for your spiritual man. Amen. It's not for your flaky emotions. Amen. It's to feed your spirit so you can transcend those emotions. It's not flesh and blood, but it is righteousness. And the result of righteousness is peace. Can you say amen? And the result of accomplishing that peace and appropriating that peace is joy in the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? And I'm going to tell you something. If you've got a standing with God that gives you confident consolation and confidence in the day of trouble, if you've got peace that passes all understanding, and if you've got joy in the Holy Ghost, amen, something is operative in you that's going to be stronger and more transcendent than your flaky emotions and mood swings. Can you say amen? Well, I just thought I'd run that by you. Because that's what's available. But you don't just get them by sitting around wishing you had them. You get them by possessing them by faith. You've got to lay hold of the things that God has given you. And that's what defeated the first generation. They turned back. You know what they said? Our God must, when they saw all the obstacles to the promised land, they said, God must hate us to left us out here in the wilderness to die like this. Amen. And you know what God said in return to that? Oh, poor babies, how can I bless you somewhere? You know what He said? He said, nobody with that attitude is going to eat the milk and honey of that land. And He waited for 40 years, the time frame for a generation to die off. And I told you, He blessed their garments if they were growing children. Their garments grew with them. And He blessed their shoes to not wear out as they traipsed around in the wilderness for 40 years. Their shoes never wore out. They were supernaturally kept by manna that came from heaven. But they were not in Canaan. And they did not live a life that represented what God wanted to do to glorify His name and bless His people. Amen. The Bible warned us about not entering into His rest. Because until you get there, you will not have His peace reigning in your life. Can you say amen? And the reason they couldn't enter into His rest was because of one singular thing, and it wasn't anything to do with the circumstances or the walled cities or the barriers to blessing. You know what it was? He said they could not enter in because of unbelief in the book of Hebrews. Amen? You don't pet your flesh. You don't get that mopey attitude with God if you want blessing. How many have been saved over a year? It's time to grow up. I didn't say 20 years. I didn't say 15 years. I didn't say 5 years. I said a year. If you've been saved a year, it's time to grow up. You know what God is doing with the church right now? You know what he's doing? You know what he's doing? I'll tell you what he's doing. He stopped the manna. When you get in Canaan, you don't get manna no more. Come on, you don't get manna no more. You know why? Because everything you need is already provided in Canaan. You don't need bread to fall out of heaven because the land is flowing with milk and honey. But you got to go over and possess that land or you'll starve to death because you're not in the wilderness anymore. Don't live like it. Can you say amen? You're in the kingdom and it's time we think different. And it's time we talk different. It's time we pray different. It's time we live different. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God doesn't offer you pity. You're not pitiful. You're children of the covenant. He don't look at you as a pathetic, pitiful person. He looks at you as a recipient of all that Christ's blood at the cross has given you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Of course, if you don't see yourself that way, there's nothing God can do. And nothing Christ has done will help you. Until your mental image, because nothing else he can do in your spirit, man, it's a done job. Can you say amen? He has renewed you, regenerate. Nothing he can do in me, but your mental image has to change. That's why the Bible said, amen, don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. Why is that so vital? Because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Can you say amen? What's the word of God for anyway? It's to renew you in the spirit of your mind. Amen. You say, Brother Bimble, I just feel rotten today. Well, the word of God says that's a feeling. And you got something in God that's supposed to be stronger and greater and more authoritative and authentic than your flaky feelings. You got his word, and his word says that he's with you, that he'll never leave you, he'll never forsake you. His word says when you feel the worst and the weakest that you're more than a conqueror, not through your feelings, but through him that loved you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Victory is not about how you feel. Victory is about what he has done for you through Jesus Christ at the cross. Wow, hallelujah. I don't always feel on top of the world, but I'm always on top of the world. Oh, thank you for the hearty amens. Oh, you didn't hear that. It's not about how you feel. Amen. I used to think if I didn't feel goose pimples, I hadn't prayed through. Then I found out that I didn't have to pray through anything. Come on, that's a man-made slang saying. It has nothing to do with God in the book. You don't pray through what? Where is that? Where is the scripture that says pray till you pray through? Is there scripture that says, no, that's not in the Bible. That's us saying. Until we feel a witness that God has heard us, we don't believe he's heard. So if you're having a real, real, real bad day, guess what? You're not going to get through. Can you say amen? Your emotions are going to tell you, I prayed and it felt like heaven brass. Well, heaven isn't brass. That's a feeling. If you're a Christian, and you're not got some secret sin that you just refuse to turn loose. Can you say, Matt? You have a standing with God that when you talk, and I don't mean this in a sense to make you arrogant, but when you talk, God listens. And the issue is whether he hears you, not how you feel about it while you're praying. David said, I love the Lord because he hears my cry. I love the Lord because he hears my voice. I love the Lord because he hears my prayer, turning his ear always to me. The scripture declares the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open to their cry. We Pentecostals got so feeling oriented, our faith wouldn't work unless we felt God somehow. Amen. Listen, God doesn't need you to feel him to answer you. And one of the great discoveries you're going to make, and I hope you make it soon, is that if you'll dare to stand on the word by faith, God will come through for you while you feel rotten and feel like heaven is brass and feel like you're 1,000 miles detached from him. It won't stop him from moving if you'll trust him through it and say, these are feelings, these are facts, this is the word. The word will stand when the world is passed away. I choose to stand on the word of God today. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I want to be a victor, not a victim. So we got to get above our emotions. I love to feel God. I'll be honest with you. You get a service where God comes down and kisses the earth and we're in the middle of the smack. I want to replicate that service. I want it to happen every service. I mean, sometimes when it happens on Sunday morning, I come back Sunday night and say, good. I mean, I still got the taste of Sunday morning. I want to get back and get under that blessing again. And I want to push whatever button is necessary to get that blessing to be replicated. Amen. Whatever we did, let's do it again. Can you say amen? There's the song that did it. Let's play it again. Some churches have wore songs completely out because one Sunday morning, God moved through that song. And they thought if we play it every Sunday, He'll move every Sunday. Can you say amen? And now you've heard it for the 852nd time. Amen. It's wore completely out. God don't move through it. Nobody's moved by it anymore. But we're pushing that button, hoping that we can get the same thing we got because it felt so good. And you know what we're doing? We're trying to get God to bless our feelers. And if He does, amen, the day that you go through a tough trial and you are in an isolation booth in church. Has anybody been in a tough trial and you're in church and everybody's shouting and there you sit and you feel like, I don't know where I belong, but I must not belong here because I am out of it. Amen? You can be out of it. You can be completely isolated. And I'm going to tell you something else. All the people getting blessed will aggravate you. Amen? Because you feel rotten and you feel like, how in the world can they get blessed? How can God bless them and not bless me? Because I need it worse than anybody that's shouting today. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? And it becomes aggravating. It really does. Don't it aggravate you to see someone, amen, as Poe is, some of us, you know, as much as we need help, let's put it that way. Can you say amen? I'll tell you, I mean, you got old cars sometimes that don't want to start, and about the time the car don't want to start, amen, you got trouble with your plumbing, and about that time the fuse box goes on the fritz, and about that time you get a letter from the RS says, whoops, we sent you too much last year, you owe us $782 back. Can you say amen? Amen. And all that stuff begins to come down on you. Amen. And you see somebody, amen, that wins the lottery or something, or Ed McMahon comes and they're interviewing them and they say, oh, you know, I'm retired. I'm living down in Naples. You know, I'm retired from so-and-so. I got a great income. I may take a trip or two, but I think I'll stay in the same house and nothing much is going to change that radically because I've just won $10 million. And you're saying, that really aggravates me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I mean, why couldn't somebody that could needs it as bad as I need it get the blessing? Can you say amen? Let me tell you what you need. You need to get rid of your spirit of aggravation. You need to get rid of unbelief. You need to get rid of doubt and understand that if you really want victory, you're going to have to get beside yourself, amen, and get to the place in your life when you say, Lord, let me run something else by you. I don't want to get into this too far until we touch these issues. What was the issue with Cain and Abel anyway? What was the issue there? I want to see this thing defeated. I want to see this Jericho fall in your life and mine. I want to see God's people bring glory and honor to Him. I want to see some consistency that nothing in this world can interrupt. I want to see something so powerful in God that Satan can't come and steal from us what God in His grace has provided for us. Can you say amen? I want to see real healings take place in people's lives. I don't want to see anybody else destroyed. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Listen to me. It's important. What was the issue with Cain and Abel? Evidently, jealousy. Why? Because Cain brought a sacrifice of grain, and Abel brought a blood sacrifice. And you know what? They had instructions. God will not hold anybody accountable that hadn't been instructed in what's pleasing to Him. Let me tell you what the Bible is. It's an instruction book in what is pleasing to God. Can you say amen? Come on, church, this is what it's all about. We got time for the newspaper. We got time for the computer. We got time for television. We got time for the telephone. We ought to pick up the instruction manual every now and then and get down to business about victory. Can you say amen? The manna isn't coming anymore. The manna is stopped once you cross into Canaan. God don't send manna anymore when you get in Canaan. He said, this is the land that I promise you. Everything you need is waiting for you in this land. Go over and possess the land that the Lord thy God hath given you. Can you say amen? So, what did Abel do? What could he have done? How could this have been different? How could this terrible, tragic story had been different? Abel could have humbled himself. Abel could have quit feeling sorry for himself and quit being jealous of his brother and quit being aggravated because of his blessing. You know what he could have done? He could have looked at him and said, you know something? If that's what God wants, I am sorry, Lord, that I missed it. But now that it's very clear to me that I can't just do it my way, I have to do it your way if I want the blessing, then I'm going to go get you that kind of sacrifice. And I'm going to bring it to you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I'm going to do the thing that I know is pleasing to you and that you're blessing. Because God's no respecter of persons. Can you say amen? But you can't do it your way. Amen? My greatest concern is that some Christians will get set. So set that there is no change in them. We're not going to be humble. We're not going to be open with God. We're going to lose that sweet sensitivity that He can shape us with and set into our way. The hardest people to preach to are people that are satisfied where they are with what they have. Now, they may not be satisfied with their lot in life. They may be chronic complainers. But they are not willing to make the necessary adjustments to see victory come. Can you say amen? And if you see somebody in victory, don't be jealous of their victory. Say, Lord, I want to walk in that reality with you. Amen? Cain could have repented, brought a blood sacrifice to God, and God would have accepted his sacrifice, and he'd had the same blessing Abel did. Isn't that great? I don't want, as a small church, to be jealous of every big church so that we pick at them because secretly we envy them. Hello? Every big church is not backslid. And every little church isn't sincere and pure. You know, we're little because we're so right. Therefore, nobody wants to come because everybody's going to that church because they're so wrong. Yeah. Let's stay away from that. Amen. There's compromise on small scale. There's compromises on large scale. There's blessings on small scale. And there's blessings on large scale. Can you say amen? We've got to be very careful to not envy, amen, the blessed people and be jealous and pick at them. Boy, if I do rotten, my enemies jump on me because I'm a failure. If I have great successes, they jump on me because I'm successful. You're not going to win with your enemies. You just have to seek to please the Lord. Can you say amen? All right. There's always going to be a barrier to blessing. Important to understand that God wants to help us defeat these things. When they crossed Jordan, they could have rushed to Jericho to take the city. God says, no, you camp right here. And he did something while he was reinstituting things that they had let go to prepare them to take that city. They didn't go directly, amen, from crossing supernaturally into Canaan to overcoming that barrier. They went through a time of encampment where God restored things that they had let go of. And when the restoration was complete, then they walked 2 miles to the city of Jericho, and they took the city. And once they took that city, because that was the biggest barrier to the blessing, was the impregnable city of Jericho. When they took that city, no other obstacle could discourage them. Because they said, God gave us this thing, dear Lord. I mean, when they saw it, it must have been an awe-inspiring thing. The archaeologists who believe that they have found the ruins of the city of Jericho said the walls were wide enough in their thickness, not just their height, but in the thickness of those walls, that you could run 6 chariots abreast. And if anyone saw the movie Spartacus, not Spartacus, but the movie where Charlton Heston was in chariot races, Ben-Hur. You can see how wide chariots are running side by side. There wasn't even room on that track to run 6 of them abreast. Amen. The walls of this city said that you could run 6 chariots side by side. Imagine a 6-lane highway, if you will. Can you say amen? This was something that just, I mean, enemies would come up and say, oh, what's the point? You know, battering rams don't do any good. Amen. You just can't deal with walls that big and that thick. They built it to be a city that was impregnable. And they looked at it. Amen. Hallelujah. But they were fully prepared to look at it with the eye of faith, because God had prepared them to take out these barriers to the blessing. Now, folks, question is tonight, are you serious about getting beyond those barriers so God can help you? Wave at me if you're serious about it. Wave higher and a little bit more enthusiasm if you're serious. I don't believe this little half-hearted wave unless you're serious about that. Amen. Listen, God is not offering you pity. He loves you. He cares for you. He's compassionate. He's concerned. But pity is not going to break this barrier in your life. He wants to give you something better than pity. He wants to give you victory. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Somebody give him a hand tonight. He wants to give you victory. I didn't want to have a nervous breakdown, go out of the ministry, amen, have to live on pills for the rest of my life to exist. That's not what God had for me. But barriers had to fall. Amen. How many know strongholds have to be brought down? And your carnal weapons won't do it. There's a lot of things you thought was the Holy Spirit was not the Holy Spirit, because if it was the Holy Spirit, we wouldn't have failed. Hello? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God. That means nothing in your emotions. Your grandest spiritual high is no weapon against the enemy that stands against you. Can you say amen? He'll defy you to take those promises in spite of your grandest blessed feeling you ever got from God. Faith has to transcend your feelings. Faith has to be a mighty weapon in prayer. Faith has to mingle with the Word. For the Bible said, this generation I'm talking about that wandered and died in the wilderness had the gospel preached unto them just like we do. And that meant in type and foreshadow. Amen? All the elements of the gospel were in type, ministered to them. But it did not profit them. It didn't make any difference when they faced these obstacles, because it wasn't mixed with faith in them that heard it. Can you say amen? The most anointed man in the world came, and his name was Jesus. And people that didn't mix faith with the word that he gave couldn't even get saved, didn't get healed, didn't get delivered, and did not get set free. In his own hometown, amen, the Bible said there Christ, who was God in the flesh, could do no mighty work. And he marveled at their unbelief. He was astonished that man could be in such a holy presence and such an anointing, and yet close God off. That's why I don't take it personal when I don't see everyone responding to what God gives me. Because unless you have it in your heart to live a life where you guard and feed and build your faith, you will never mix it with the Word. And if Jesus Christ was here tonight, amen. I've often thought of this as a pastor. If Jesus came in without his halo. By the way, he didn't walk around with it in his personal life when he was here. Can you say amen? If Jesus came in without a white robe. If Jesus dressed in our society like he dressed in his own society. Amen. You would not recognize him from anyone else in society. There would be nothing to give him away until he opened his mouth. Because they didn't say, never a man looked like this man. They said, never a man spake like this man. For what manner of man in this that the wind and the wave obey him? And if Christ came in with a suit and tie tonight to be the guest speaker and said, don't announce my name. I want to be anonymous until the end of the service. You know what he would tell you? He would tell you what the Bible is telling you right now. And you know what you would do and by the way, for you that are so given to the feeling. Amen. When he taught some of his messages, he did something no self-respecting, full gospel, spirit-filled preacher would ever be caught dead doing. He sat down and taught them that. Now, boy, you talk about a boring service when the preacher is not jumping around to entertain you. Can you say amen? And there's no healing line. And no one's being called out to be prophesied over, because this night God don't want you distracted from the Word, because faith comes. Because faith comes. Because not by seeing, or Israel would have crossed Jordan and took the land. Because they saw the Red Sea part. They saw the miracles in Egypt. They saw and ate the manna that came down every day. They saw the pillar of fire and they saw the cloud. But when they saw the obstacles, they turned around and went back. Can you say, man? So faith comes by and hearing by. But you got to mix faith. Isn't it amazing? The Word will give you faith, but you got to use the faith. Are you hearing me? You got to mix faith with the Word. You can be having one of your bad days, and the Word can come to you as you read it or you hear it taught and say, God is with you. Don't be afraid of the fire. He said, when you go through the fire, I'll be with you. But if you're bound and determined to have the mopes, you're not going to mix any faith with that. And you know what's going to happen? You're not going to feel better. You're going to just let that go right over you. That's why the Bible said we need to give the more earnest heed to the things that we what? Have heard. Lest at any time, what do we do? Come on. We let them slip. The actual Greek says flow by carelessly. And this feels pretty good sitting down and teaching. Amen. Hallelujah. Till the anointing hits me again, I'll jump up. But it feels pretty good right now. It's been a long day. Hallelujah. This feels nice. These chairs are pretty comfortable. Amen. $5 a piece. Can you imagine? What a blessing. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. He sat down and taught them there. He was just 30 years old when he started doing stuff like that. I guess at 56, I can sit down and do a little teaching. Hallelujah. I'm about twice his age. Anyway, moving right along. Amen. God has been good to me. Amen. God wants to be good to you. He wants you to understand that there's something much higher in terms of authenticity and authority than your feelings. Amen. Hallelujah. And that is the Word of the living God. Amen. When you're listening to the Word, it don't matter how you feel. If you'll receive it, and if you'll say, Lord, by your help and grace, I'm going to go the way that the Word has pointed me today. I'm going to begin to take by faith what you said and see what a difference it makes in my life. Healings can come to you without you feeling the anointing. We think it's all tied up in the man that God is using. No, it's all tied up in the Holy Spirit doing the work, and you don't even have to feel it for it to get done. Can you say amen? The witness that is true is not when you feel it, it's when God says it in His Word. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen and amen and amen. I'm so glad I can get healed when I don't even feel God. I mean, I love to feel Him, but I'm glad it has nothing to do with my prayers getting answered. I'm glad I can expect an answer when I've had a bad day, when I feel terrible, when I don't know what God's up to, and I can't feel that very glory that we feel sometimes. God is still God. The Word is still true. His ears are still open to my cry. If I will cry in faith, God will answer no matter how I feel. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. God wants to deliver you from you so He can deliver you from everything else in your life. Hallelujah. They get up to Jordan and they say, let's use wisdom here. Let's send spies into the land. You know, the second generation sent spies over too. So God didn't chide them for spying out, getting some intelligence. Amen. And so they got an accurate intelligence report. Spies came back and eight of the ten, you know what they said? They said, it's hopeless. What we saw says that it's hopeless. We saw the sons of Anak over there, which was a generation of giants. There are giants in the land. Everybody say there's giants in the land. Now, this is promised land. And there are giants in the land. And he said, we saw a city over there, a city called Jericho. Now, listen, they could have described it perfectly accurate, but when things are bad, they will always be exaggerated and magnified. When you're not operating in faith, the enemy's going to magnify the problem. He's going to make it bigger than it really is. And it's big enough, it's going to take God anyway. But see, the wonderful thing, if God's going to do it, it don't matter if it's big, small, or anywhere in between. If God's going to act on it by His Spirit, it doesn't matter how big it is. That's why David, when they said, have you seen the size of this man? You don't understand what you're up against, sonny boy. Amen. How presumptuous can you be? Have you seen the size of it? Sometimes when I preach, the devil, amen, has got someone in doubt and unbelief. And you know what? They're sitting there saying, I understand what you're saying, but you don't know what I'm going through. Honey, if you understood what I'm saying, it wouldn't matter what you're going through. Because God has to be a little bit bigger than that. Can you say amen? I said God has to be a little bit bigger than that. Yeah, I'm not trying to be discompassionate. I'm saying you're never going to get victory unless you rise up, amen, and begin to stand up and begin to say, God said it. I'm going to begin to pursue that. I'm not going to let the circumstances or my feelings stop me from praising Him, loving Him, and standing on His Word. I'm going to pray with a spirit of expectation because His eyes are upon me because I'm a covenant person, and His ears are open because He's brought me into His kingdom. Can you say amen? And that Jericho's going to fall. It's got to fall. I'll get back to it. 10 spies. Thank you. Amen. Everybody else missed it. You get an A+. I would have got it, but it took me 5 or 6 minutes. And now we can just save that. We redeemed the time. They said, we saw a walled city. They're talking about this Jericho they're about to go get and take and conquer. They said, we saw a walled city, and it was walled up to heaven. Can you say amen? It is, in other words, it's impossible because it's impregnable. And the Bible said they caused the heart of the people to melt. If you get around somebody that is in doubt and fear and unbelief and frustration and anxiety, if you're not careful, they're going to cause your heart to melt. Everything you say in faith, they're going to counter with unbelief. And I'm not saying these are bad people. These are brethren. Our brethren caused our heart. It said it in the scripture. That report, that evil report, our brethren. Listen, the most effective people that Satan can use to bring discouragement in God's camp is not that world out there. They don't see what I see. I do not understand. I don't expect them to understand. This is a Christian thing you wouldn't understand. Can you say amen? They don't understand my joy. They don't understand my values. They don't understand my priorities. Amen. They don't understand what makes me tick. Amen. They think I'm a strange duck. They think I'm a weirdo. Hey, can you say amen? Hallelujah. They think I'm queer. Can you say, man? They really do. They think I'm very queer. They said, that is a weird man. I go to work with victory in my life, and I go to work singing or whistling, amen, and people are affected by it. Some positively saying, boy, that's Rev's famous whistle over there. And somebody else is saying, he's got that deep, settled peace within. And somebody else is actually cursing. I've had people curse and say, nobody should be that blankety-blank happy. Don't fill in the blanks. You don't need to go there. Can you say amen? But and they say that. It really bothers them. Just like it bothers you when you don't have victory and somebody does. You don't see what they see. You're not looking through the eye of faith. You're looking through the eye of the flesh. And the flesh just wants to mope. And the flesh wants to get the poor old me's. And the last thing you need going up against a Jericho like this is a bunch of people looking through the eye of flesh. Listen, if somebody gets a word from God and said, God is going to give us a tabernacle, don't counter that and say, we'll do good to get a barn out here, let alone a tabernacle. Can you say amen? Because you know what it'll do? It'll limit God. And let me tell you what happens when we limit God. I'm not talking about buildings. I'm talking about a facility where we can have a ministry that's going to reach people for Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? I'm very comfortable having coffee with you, but God called us here to do more than have coffee with each other. Can you say amen? And just get by. God called us here to be different. And God called us here to be effective. And God called us here to be not a carbon copy, cookie cutter stamp out of other churches here. God called us here in a unique place with a prophetic word. Amen. A word that can transform people's lives. Make note of it tonight. What is being preached from this pulpit. Not because I'm doing it, but because it is the word. Not cut and not manipulated. Hallelujah. Has the power to absolutely set the captive free tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb of God. Glory. Hallelujah. I don't care if you're homosexual, heterosexual. I don't care what your sin hang-up is. Whatever it is, it can be conquered through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't care if you're a pedophile. I don't care if you're a pimp. I don't care if you're a hoe. God can set you free tonight. I said God can set you free tonight. And God can clean you up tonight. And there's no limit to the anointing tonight. And we need to take the limit off of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen and amen and amen. I believe God's still in the saving business. He's still in the delivering business. He's still in the healing business. Can you say amen? And I believe these barriers, these strongholds can fall. But it's got to be through God that they come down. Because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Everybody say these barriers to blessings. And I'm talking about the blessing of effective evangelism as well. I'm not putting this all in the material world. I'm talking about what a blessing. You talk about a church on fire, let people start getting saved, delivered, and set free. Let some of our flaky family members, and thank God you're here. I'm not talking about you. Can you say amen? I love you. We've been in church together a long time. Amen. But I got some flaky family members. Amen. And you're not one of them. Hallelujah. Praise God. Just wanted to clarify that tonight. I love my brother, and I'm glad he's here. I'd rather be here in the best jail in Hillsborough County. Hallelujah. I'd rather be here, as I preached in them, I'd rather be here in the best hospital that there is in the state of Florida. I'd rather be here, amen, hallelujah, than the Taj Mahal. I'd rather be here, amen, than somewhere in Italy having spaghetti tonight and looking out over the ocean. Can you say amen? All of that's going to pass away. All of that's going to rust out. All of that in the time of trouble is no consolation. I'm here in the presence of the Most High God tonight, preparing, being prepared by God Almighty to take cities. Amen. To take cities that are walled up and well defended. But God says the battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. Hallelujah. And I want to prepare you to enter into the victory that I want to give you. Hallelujah. This thing's going to break through. And the devil's fought you on it. And he's fought me on it. But he's going to lose this battle. Do you hear me tonight? God brought us out that he might bring us in. Hallelujah. God brought us out that he might bring us in. God brought us out that he might bring us in. Hallelujah. They cross over Jordan. He says, get 12 stones and make a memorial. That's where we stopped this morning. About where we're going to have to stop tonight. We haven't got past that memorial yet. We've had the prelude to the sermon. It's about time to quit. Ten spies said, we can't do it. Eight of them, no way. Joshua and Caleb saw the same thing. But they said, you know, if God wasn't with us, there's no way. But God is with us. If God hadn't parted Jordan to get us over here, I mean, Egypt was a long time ago. 40 years ago he parted the Red Sea. But this is just recent stuff. This has just happened here. We just put those stones up as a memorial to God bringing us over Jordan and the waters parted. It took the supernatural to make a river stand up and open up a dry corridor, amen, for them to pass through. It took a supernatural, mighty, visible miracle of Almighty God. And in the light of that supernatural miracle, they said, these natural obstacles are really not obstacles at all. Because we still have that miracle in view. Amen. That's the kind of things that we need to get a hold of. Can you say amen? Amen. That first generation saw Egypt parted. Amen. And here's Joshua and Caleb. They saw the Red Sea parted. It hadn't been 40 years. It's been 40 years, but it hadn't been that long that they don't remember vividly what happened. Praise God. And here they stand on the threshold of the promised land, and they look at it and they say, God brought us out of Egypt. God delivered us from the death angel. God feeds us with manna, heaven's sakes. It just came down this morning out of the heavens. We still don't know what it is. Amen. Manna. Say it with manna. In the Hebrew, look it up in any lexicon. In the Hebrew, it means, what is it? Amen. They walked out and said, what it is. I mean, what is it? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And they turned around and said, it's manna. What is it? Amen. To this day, it's called, what is it? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God fed them with what is it? Why was it, what is it? Because they'd never seen nothing like it before. Because God designed it. God sent it down out of heaven. They were being led by a pillar of fire and a cloud. They had all of that stuff. And they got over there and saw an obstacle and forgot all of that stuff. That's why God said, this time, I don't want you to forget. I'm going to take you through and you make a memorial. You mark it. I want it to be indelible. I want it to be in every generation. I want this memorial to stand forever. And not just this bunch of rocks, but this legacy of faith that's going to be passed down. Because the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the God of Moses that parts the waters, hallelujah, is your God in every successive generation. And the God that gives Jerichos to those people will give Jerichos to you and me in this 21st century. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. That's why we need to remember and rehearse these wonderful victories. Wow. Oh, it's getting good. Joshua and Caleb said, let's go up at once and possess the land. Because we, in light of this covenant, in light of this supernatural presence with us, we are well able. Hallelujah. Was that wishful thinking? Was that just a positive confession? Or was that the absolute truth based on the covenant and the visitation of Almighty God to Israel? The truth. And it was a transcendent truth. Bigger than the giants. And mightier than the walls of Jericho. Hallelujah. But somebody has to cross over on that truth. And not live in the realm of sense, knowledge, and the flesh. And by the way, the truth is not as easily believed as Satan's lies and deceptions. Because they didn't listen to Joshua and Caleb. They listened to the 10 spies. And you know what they said about them? Our brethren. Everybody look at your brother and sister. Our brethren hath discouraged our hearts. Everybody say saying. That meant that giants didn't defeat them because they never faced them. They turned around and went back. Walled cities didn't keep them out because they never came against those cities in the name of the Lord to see. They never give God the opportunity to give them a city or to give them victory over. They said there's fierce armies over there too. They didn't give God opportunity. Amen. The fiercest army in the world had been conquered to get them out of Egypt. They'd remembered that victory, they would have had courage for the battle they were about to face. But they forgot God when they saw the problem. I'll tell you something about spiritual things. Spiritual things in your life, because we're caught in between two worlds, the realm of the flesh and the material and the spiritual, amen, and eternal. And you can get a prophecy that makes your toenails curl, the hair on your neck stand up and say, oh God, this is so great. And the moment the service is over, you'll be saying, I wish I could remember all of that. I hope it's on tape. And by the time you get to the house, all that feeling you had while it was coming, like I can grab the devil by his goatee and shake him, amen? Amen? Yeah. She, WWF back here, she says, she don't just shake him by the goatee, she go bang, 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 bang. Hallelujah. Amen? Let me tell you something about when you get to the house a couple of days past that experience. It can become less real than the problem you're facing at the given time. And that's why these memorials and these rehearsings of victories are so vital and important. We are a people caught between these two realms. And sometimes the realm of the spirit can seem like the dream world. And this becomes the real world. Can you say amen? And dreams, how many's ever awoke and you're trying to remember a dream, but it's so vague now. It was vivid while you were dreaming it, but suddenly it seems to be defragmenting and going out of your mind. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. God says, I want to establish some things in your heart that is absolute truth. Amen. I want a pile of rocks sitting out here, amen, that when you look at them, and while you celebrate this great victory, that you don't just celebrate it this one day, but every day that you live, you know there is a memorial to the faithfulness and the might and the power and the love and the grace of a mighty God who keeps His covenant promises no matter what the circumstances. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He wants that to establish that memorial in my life and yours. He wants us to have a Gilgal, where the reproach of Egypt is rolled away, hallelujah, where God's people don't hang their heads anymore, where our enemies don't laugh at us anymore and scorn us anymore and say you have a God. Where's your God when you need Him? Why doesn't He help you? Why are you so dejected? Why are you so discouraged? Why are you talking like you are against a God that is as great as you have said previous days that He is? God said today, that's going to change. Today, that's going to change. Today, He's going to shut to the mouth of those who laugh and scoff at the pathetic, poor people of God. Can you say amen? Today, I'm going to give you the victories I promised. For today, I've led you over Jordan. Hallelujah. And I'm going to give you Jericho. So we need to get a hold of this thing. And more importantly, get a hold to what runs this thing. We talk about the tongue. Everywhere you see it, talk about the tongue. The tongue don't have a brain. It's attached to yours. Come on. Last time I looked, I never seen a tongue taken out and say, where's the brain of this thing? Because the tongue's an unruly evil. Well, if we yank them all out, we'd all be all right. No, we wouldn't, because something's got to change in your gourd. Can you say amen? I'm not talking about the vine beside the house either. Can you say amen? You got to get renewed. I got to get renewed in the spirit of my mind. That means the attitude. It had an old dead attitude. We were dead in trespasses and sins. You got to understand, you were a dead man before God made you a live man. And all your life, you've been thinking like a dead man, talking like a dead man, and walking like a dead man. Can you say amen? But now you're a new man, and you've been given life. Hallelujah. And God wants you to start thinking about like a living man, and thinking like a spiritually alive man. Hallelujah. He wants you to get renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you're not pressed into the mold of this world, but you are now transformed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He's already done it in your spirit. Now He wants to do it in your mind. Hallelujah. What do you use to do it with? The Word of God. The Word of God. The Word of God. The Word of God. To be carnally minded is still death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Gird up the loins of your mind. That means equip them. Prepare them. Shilama kotarama nitaramarete korobohosonde rabahasitia nita. This is not a game. This is for real, and this is for keeps. There are barriers to blessings. There are walled cities. There are giants, and there are fierce armies that will oppose you possessing what is yours in Christ. But God said the weapons of your warfare are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down of all of these strongholds. So He wants Israel to see themselves different, to see themselves well able. So He says, you mark this, because if you don't mark it, you're going to forget it. And if you forget it, you're going to forfeit it. And you're going to end up discouraged, questioning God, even accusing God, wandering in the wilderness. And the reproach of Egypt will be on you, because someone in Egypt is going to say, yeah, He took them out, but look what He took them to. He sure took them out of here. That's the truth. But look at them. They are discouraged, dejected, wandering, nomadic people. Wandering all over the country, never being able to settle anywhere and be blessed. Amen? God wants to change that. Christianity has to take on a realism. These can't be things we just talk about and sing about and preach about. They've got to be things that are realized and actualized in our life. If that peace isn't real, Satan is going to worry you to death. If this joy isn't real, you'll not have strength for the journey. You'll never make it. You will be sidetracked. You'll lay your armor down somewhere. Put your harp on the willow tree. And all of this tough preaching and challenge, amen, is to help you defeat the flesh. And I'm going to just give you this point as we close. Because the next issue, after this memorial is made, something else happens. We need to remember God's love and delivering power and raise up stones of remembrance, a memorial to God's love and power. But the next thing we need to do, and it's real important tonight because I've been preaching all about it. I just didn't read it first. And that is that we need to claim our identity as covenant people, no longer slaves to Egypt, but servants of God. Now, when you claim your identity, I want to clarify the reason I wrote that down. Claiming your identity doesn't just mean that you say, I am a child of God, I am the seed of Abraham, these blessings are mine and I claim them. Claiming your identity means that you now have a new master. That you are willing, through his help and grace, to conquer the flesh, that you might serve this new master in full surrender. Because if you're really going to claim your identity, you're supposed to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, not just a churchgoer. Churchgoers don't take cities like that. But disciples of Jesus do. Followers of God do. Joshua 5:1 says, and it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites which were on the side of Jordan westward and all the kings of the Canaanites which were by the sea heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan before the children of Israel until we were passed over, that their heart melted. Oh, do you see what God was doing? These miracles in the lives of God's people to get them into Canaan was striking fear into their adversaries. They said, if their God can part us, part the waters of the Jordan River, their God can give them victory in battle. Amen. Are you figuring this out? Our enemies have more faith in our God many times than we do. The devils believe and tremble, it said in the book of James. Neither was there spirit in any of them anymore. It broke their spirit to fight effectively. Because they said, how can you beat an invisible God that can part waters? You can defeat people walking in their carnality, using carnal weapons, but you can't defeat people using spiritual weaponry. Because all we got is our weapons of war. They've got a God who fights for them. It's different for them. And at that time the Lord said unto Joshua, Joshua 5:2, make these sharp knives. You know what had happened? They had quit circumcising as a sign of the covenant. They had forfeited the sign of the covenant. They were so discouraged, despondent, they forgot all the covenant blessings and their covenant responsibilities. And you know what was going to get reinstituted before they went up to take that city? Circumcision. He said, don't you dare go up against that city until you bear the mark of the covenant on you. Can you say amen? Because if you don't stand in the covenant, you don't have nothing to stand on to take this city. Come on, church. So take thee knives and circumcise again the children of Israel the second time, this new generation. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day, in verse 9, have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name is called Gilgal. To this day at Gilgal, circumcision was reinstituted. Circumcision was the mark of the covenant. Say the mark of the covenant. Amen. This was God's idea. The people of Israel were to be circumcised according to the covenant. It's a part of the covenant promise. And it was a reminder that this people were a people, not just a nation. They belonged to God. They were a special people. They were a chosen people. They were a separated people. They were called to purity and holiness in their marriages, in their society, and in their relationship with God Himself. pagan countries would surround them as they entered the promised land. It was important that they get themselves ready and give themselves to purity and holiness. Heaven only knows that they were often tempted in the wilderness, so in the land of promise with other nations practicing immoral things, they would certainly be tempted to compromise. In fact, future generations actually succumbed. Are we not in a similar situation? This writer says, reading your commentary on this verse. We are surrounded by pagan people. George Hunter calls them the neo-barbarians of the 21st century. Are we not surrounded by people of immoral practices? It can be so easy to compromise. But God himself calls us to come hide ourselves in him. Remember, you are a chosen people. Remember, you are a special people. Remember, you are given to holiness. Stay close to God. The men of the covenant people were to receive the mark of the covenant, which was circumcision. As a nation, they passed over Jordan, which symbolized death. Now they were to apply the act of death to self-individuality. The people had wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years, and a new generation was growing up among them who had not received the mark of the covenant. Before they could possess the land, the covenant had to be reestablished among them, and this entailed the cutting away of the flesh. You know what's wrong with the modern day 21st century church? We want the covenant blessings without the mark of the covenant, which is the cutting away of the flesh. We don't want the message of crucifying the flesh. We don't want the message of denying ourselves and taking up our cross. We just want all the benefits, and we're trying to go up against cities that require the mark of the covenant in order to take them. Can you say amen? Do you understand where this is going? Do you understand this is contemporary to our time? This is not an old history lesson with no relevance to our time. Can you say amen? Do you realize the greatest enemy to you is not the devil nor the circumstances in the world? Amen. But it is the flesh that we must conquer. Amen. Listen to this as we hurry to a closing tonight. Circumcision is a physical act depicting a spiritual truth. It means the cutting away and putting off of that which is sinful. In the New Testament, it's referred to as the flesh, the old nature. The main lesson for us to learn from Gilgal is that there can be no possession of our spiritual inheritance. Neither will God give us victory if we're still living in the flesh of the old life. The old life must be cut away. Unless we've experienced victory over the flesh, the carnal nature will never know victory over our enemies. Can you say amen? It's the lost message to the Church of Jesus Christ in the 21st century. Now you just build your faith and claim it. You don't have to deal with the flesh anymore. Can you say amen? You don't have to deal with that issue. God says you'll never know real victory. America doesn't have revival because of all the faith teaching. America doesn't have protection because all of the prosperity teaching. America doesn't have a moral revival because someone's telling you how to get a diamond ring or a shiny new automobile. Amen. America will not have revival or conquer Satan's strongholds over it until we're dealing, amen, able to deal effectively with the flesh. You will never stand in a faith that takes a city until you get that flesh under subjection. Quit giving yourself a pity party. Amen. When you hear the good word of God through anybody's mouth, that you rejoice with them that rejoice. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Till you say when you see an obstacle, amen, we're well able to do this thing. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. That's when God is able to give you the city. I want this flesh conquered. I want the preacher to preach it straight. I want the word to come red hot against my flesh. I want help from God to get this thing under so I can walk in the liberty of the children of God. Hallelujah. I want those walled cities to fall in my life. I don't want devil to kill me before God is done with me. I'm not afraid of death, but I want to die a glorious death. Hallelujah. That brings honor to my King. Can you say amen?
They took Saul's head off. They nailed his body to a wall. Amen. They made light. They made fun. They danced and they shouted. And David's heart was broken. He said, publish it not in Gath, the capital city of the Philistines. Tell it not in Ashkelon, the other capital city of the Philistines, lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice. Amen. Saul and Jonathan were dead. How art the mighty fallen? They were swift as eagles in battle. And they clothed you, daughters of Jerusalem, with all kinds of finery. Amen. As the booty was given, amen, to all the people, these spoils of war. But now they're dead on a battlefield. And it was as if they were not anointed. And the tragedy was, it wasn't supposed to happen. It didn't have to happen. Saul's old flesh defeated him when no enemy could have ever defeated him. Jonathan's flesh defeated him. As much as he loved David, he didn't love God enough to not go to battle, to not stop his family loyalty enough that he wouldn't go to battle with a mad crazed daddy that had just killed the prophets, amen, and took things into his own hands, amen. His loyalty to his family was greater than his loyalty to his God. And Jonathan died just like Saul in defeat and disgrace. And David wept. And he said, this is a time of great weeping, because it was as if they had never been anointed. But there was a day it was different. There was a day, amen, that this reproach wasn't on Israel. They were swift as eagles in battle. God was with them. The anointing was upon them. But the flesh defeated them, and they died as if they never had an anointing. God don't want you to die that way. God don't want you to live that way. It's time, amen, to deal with the flesh and get the reproach of Egypt out of the church. It's time, amen, that preachers quit getting caught in the no-tell motel. It's time that we get right with God and get real with people. It's time that integrity was restored to the house of the living God. It's time when the word came from holy preachers, not just anointed preachers. Can you say amen? There's more to taking cities than just claiming victories. There is dealing with the flesh. He said, if you're going up and take this city supernaturally, you're going to have to reinstitute circumcision, for it is the mark that you're different. And it involved the cutting away of the flesh. Can you say amen? Flesh has always been an enemy. And it's still an enemy today. And it's not going to get crucified, amen, while we pamper and pet it. I have a cancerous growth in my body, and the doctor tells me it's contained right now. If you have immediate surgery, we can take it out. I want that flesh to be cut away. Can you say, man, how about you? I want it out. I don't want to say, well, let's just see what happens in a year or so. I don't want it to metastasize. I don't want it to grow. I don't want it to get in the lymph nodes. I don't want it to go nowhere else. I want to get it out of me. And the surgeon is not being cruel when he says, you're going under the knife. Can you say, man, he is helping me to live and not die. Preacher that helps you with the flesh, that challenges you and counters you, is not your enemy. He's your friend that you don't even realize. Because this flesh will defeat you. You pet it, you give in to it, it'll lead you down a road of deception. It'll lead you down a road of destruction. It'll lead you down a road of discouragement. Can you say, man? It'll lead you into unbelief and doubt like you've never seen before. It'll put you in the darkest valley you've ever been in. Can you say, man? But if you will dare to say, Lord, I want more than just, amen, a feeling on Sunday morning. I want a faith that I can stand on. I want a faith I can commit myself fully to. I don't want to be a phony, baloney, half-baked Christian. I want to be the genuine article. Hallelujah. I want to live in victory in my personal life. God is fully prepared to help you with those issues. How many know He'll help you with that issue if you want it? Listen to this. The old life must be put away. This requires surrender and obedience. Say surrender and obedience. Oh, by the way, you know why God put such fear in the heart of the enemies? He made their hearts melt. Because for several days they couldn't go to battle because they were in pain. They were impaired. Hello? Amen? So He wouldn't let them have a preemptive strike against Israel because they just didn't have the heart to fight these people with this pile of stones up there and these silly things they were doing. What weirdos. Can you say, man? It required surrender and obedience. We must remember that we're a separate people. We bow to no other gods. We take up our cross and we follow Christ and Christ alone. Is that all right with you tonight? Gilgal is where circumcision was reinstituted. No victory over flesh. No victory over Jericho. Say it with me. No victory over flesh. No victory over Jericho. That's why we can have wonderful services and not see personal victories. Have you ever wondered about that? Because real victories involve surrender and obedience. First comes surrender and obedience, then victory and triumph. We can claim covenant promises. James 4 says, 6 through 8, "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. Submit yourself therefore unto God. Resist the devil after you've done it." And God told us this was getting ready to happen this morning. That's why this message had to come tonight, so we can bring it to pass. And he, after you've submitted to God, that involves surrender and obedience. That involves the cutting away of the flesh. What's going to happen next? Submit yourself unto God, resist the devil, and he'll give you the fight of your life, and it'll be nip and tuck, and this tug of war will go on until it looks like he's going to win, then it looks like you're going to win, then maybe he's going to win, then maybe you're going to win, and I don't know how this thing's going to come out. No, submit yourself unto the devil, and he'll oppose you until he wears you down, and you would have done the will of God, but Satan stopped you, and Satan did this, and the devil did that. That's baloney. Submit yourself unto God. Can you say amen? Deal once and for all with the flesh, and commit yourself to deny yourself, and take up your cross, and follow Christ. Can you say amen? With something called devotion in your life, not just emotion. Can you say amen? If you get in an emotional relationship, if you're ever in a marital relationship and it's based on nothing but emotions and there's no devotion of love in it, amen, it can cut off as quick as it got cut on. Can you say amen? I don't know about you, but I want something better for my relationship. I want a heart that's devoted to me so that I know when the hard time comes, we're going to weather the storm, because there's more to this marriage than just emotionalism. Can you say amen? The world don't know a lot about true devotion. Amen. But God says it's the only way to stay committed to me. You can't love two masters. You can't serve two masters. You simply can't serve God and self or mammon. Submit yourself first to God, then resist the devil. And what's going to happen? Same thing that's going to happen to Jericho. He will flee from you. Hallelujah. Draw nigh to God. He'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Make the commitment. Because you can't take that city by claiming promises unless you're surrendered and obedient to God. It's the lost message. Everyone wants the victory handed to them on a platter where they don't have to deal with this weak, deceptive flesh. Some of you this day have been defeated by weak flesh that is not on the cross. And only you can put it there. But God said, the day you decide to do it, I'm going to come alongside you and give you the grace that you need to do it. Isn't that incredible of God? Hallelujah. Will you stand with me tonight? You can choose something for us. Do you think it's strange that I would ask you to give your whole heart and life over to me and to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me? It's in following me into battle that you win victory, saith God. It's not me following you. It's you following me. And you can't follow me unless you deny yourself and take up your cross, saith the Lord. None that I. There's a message out there that leaves out the cutting away of the flesh. Now, I'm not talking about the Old Testament circumcision. I'm talking about the New Testament stuff. Amen? They that are in the flesh cannot please God.
I preached on the walls of Jericho before, and I didn't preach any of this. I just preached on faith, God's power, and walls falling. Everybody got a wonderful, wonderful feeling in that service that everything in their way is going to be out of the way. And guess what? A lot of those barriers to blessing defied us, laughed at us, scoffed at us. Because you don't go from Jordan to Jericho unless you stop at Gilgal and let God get us back to the place where covenant people are supposed to be. Can you say amen? I've been in Pentecostalism for how many years? Amen. I came to Christ at going on 22. I'm now 56 years of age. I've seen some grand services, and I've seen some terrible lives, some terrible shipwrecks. I've seen Christian homes, Christian, quote unquote, I've seen Christian homes torn apart. I've seen husbands do their wives wrong, and I've seen wives do their husbands wrong. I've seen people with great vision shipwreck. Satan bind them and blind them to their own needs. I've seen preachers fail that I knew personally, that one time stood in a holy place with God and preached with power. And I've seen them go out to the clubs trying to drown their pain and emptiness with alcohol, enjoying the world. I've watched people that God has brought out of terrible bondage and terrible danger grow cold in their spirit where they didn't even want to be in church and let every little thing in their life stop them from assembling together when God's Word commands us, don't forsake that in the last day especially. Don't you dare forsake that. Can you say amen? In 30 years, I've seen the false religious love break down under pressure, and relationships between saints sever. Some of the worst fights in the world have been church fights, and some of the worst battles being fought, there are spiritual issues at stake. Amen? The war we're involved with is not a political war. There are politics in it, but it's way beyond politics, and it's way beyond economics. It's not just about oil either. You know what it's really about? It's a spiritual war. We haven't figured it out. They already know it. They have declared a holy war, a jihad. Amen? And we're in for a tough ride, and it's not just a matter of Mr. Hussein. There's a whole lot of other people that hate us and want to see us destroyed in America. And we need a revival. Can you say amen? Christians are losing battles because we don't want to hear. We're reticent to. We resist the message of crucifying the flesh. We don't want accountability. If someone asks us to be accountable, we're ready to break and run. We don't want responsibility. Amen? We want an anointed preacher to pray for us and solve all of our problems. And we've been under the most anointed preachers that God is God. And Jericho's will not fall until we go to Gilgal. And we remember the Lord and bow to Him again. And we devote ourselves anew and afresh to become His servants. We were slaves in Egypt. We were not set free to do our thing. But He said, I'm setting you free. You know what Moses told Pharaoh? He said, let my people go. God, speaking for God, let my people go that they may what? Go out and do their own thing, and I'll bless whatever they choose to do. No, that they might worship me. That they might rebuild the altars. Can you say amen?
Come on, church. That's the whole issue. We're so they could be free to what? Free to serve, not free to do their own thing. God, don't bring you out of drug abuse so you can go out and fraternize with the same flaky friends and end up in the same messed up sins. Can you say me? He brings you out, amen, to bow to Him and Him alone. Praise God. Hallelujah. The divorce rate among Christians is spiraling. We are now coming up on the same percentage as the world because there's a breakdown of him. Amen. We don't deal with the flesh. Amen. We're doing what the world does to cope with our problems. There's no commitment involved. The Lordship of Christ is not the predominant message to the 21st century church. We're wanting to tell God what to do and manipulate Him rather than to let Him tell us what to do. And we're losing the battle and we're losing our testimony. I've called you to separation. I've called you to be different. I've called you to serve me, saith the Lord, and not to serve self or sin any longer. I want every barrier to fall, every stronghold to come down. But you cannot rush from Jordan to Jericho unless you stop at Gilgal. And commit yourself anew and afresh to be my servants. For victory is reserved for the servants of the Lord. The Catholic Church has succeeded in casting a doubt. And I'm not blaming the whole thing, but it touches us all. Gallup's most recent poll that politicians use to judge the climate of things in America said, confidence in religious institutions or at an all-time low in the United States of America. First, we have the televangelist failures. The most visible people in the Christian faith falling, like Jonathan and David. And then we have the priests who are secretly pedophiles, and the priests who know they are and have covered up from them, for them. Amen. We ought not cover sin anymore. Mine, yours, or anybody else's. This is an issue. And God wants to meet it with grace and love and cleansing. But we have to repent to have that. Can you say amen? So here we are trying to win a world that's looking at us as suspect. Moshalamakita ramanite. And you know what God wants to do? God wants to send a real revival. Are you tired of dead religion? Are you tired of watching people carry banners and dance and don't even bow to God when it's all over themselves? Are you tired of preachers preaching with such gusto that never worship? There's no tears in their eyes? Are you tired of the game in your own life? Amen. Are you tired of wandering in the wilderness? Are you tired of the flesh being so dominant that no matter what God does and what God says, you end up in the same old mess? And now the hopelessness is setting in. That's why God says, I want to help you deal with this thing. Because the victory I'm bringing you now is for real and it's forever. Hallelujah. Amen. That's why we're here. And that's why these messages are coming. Because this is not a phony baloney church. If you want to play the game, you can play it. I'm not going to come after nobody. But God is after everybody that names His name. Amen. In a great house, there are many vessels. Amen. Some to honor and some to dishonor. Let everyone that names the name of Christ. Hallelujah. How many Christians do we have in here? God is talking to you and God is talking to me. Some are of clay and some of wood and some of silver and some of gold. Amen. Let everyone that names the name of Christ. Come on, this is about Jesus and His reputation. This is about His name that you and I bear. This is not just about you and your victory. This is about Him and His glory. Can you say amen? My victory will bring honor to Him. My defeat, amen, will dishonor Him. I'm tired of the reproach of the world being on the church. I don't want to be, amen, reproached by Egypt, saying you're out of Egypt, but you can never have Canaan. I want it to change. I want to be healed when I'm sick. I want to be delivered when I'm bound. I want to conquer this flesh. I want these great walled cities to fall. I want the name of my God to be glorified through my life. You don't understand my passion. You don't know where I'm coming from. I was almost dead. I couldn't help myself. I was breaking down. I felt like I was losing my mind as well as my life. Jesus came to me. Jesus delivered me. Jesus set me free. I'm not fighting for my glory. I'm fighting for His. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I'm going to take you into confidence for a minute and tell you something. When I was going through nervous exhaustion, one day I was praying. I felt so terrible. Heaven felt so far from me. God felt so distant. And I felt so helpless and hopeless. And I wanted to just die. The easy way out. Amen. Listen, folks, living, dying is not the hard thing. Hard thing is living here till He comes. Amen? Because there's some battles to fight down here. I didn't want to kill myself. I wanted God to take me. I wanted to get it over with. One time while riding on a bike trail, I got pain in my chest and I got a tightness where I couldn't breathe and I felt like, and the devil screamed, "You're going to die here today. God isn't listening to your prayers. You can't trust Him. Amen? You're going to die here today." And you know what I did? I pedaled faster. And I thought, if I'm going to die here today, amen, then I'm going to die here today. But it's so good to be dead so I don't have to listen to you anymore. There is an actual tombstone in New England. You know what it says? I mean, this, you talk about a morbid sense of humor. It's in the list of tombstones. There's some crazy stuff on tombstones. Amen. You know what it says? It's in New England. You know what it says? It says, if I can remember it correctly, it says, "Don't bother me now. Don't bother me never. I want to be dead forever and ever." That's on a tombstone in New England. Evidently, somebody was sick of being bothered and was glad to be gone from it all. Can you say, man? I wanted to die. Somehow or another, God seeded it into my heart as I read the psalm. This is bigger than you are. This is bigger than you. Because for years you've preached hope to people. You've preached that God would come through. Come on, you stood. How many's ever had an anointed moment where you've stood somewhere and told people what God can do? Didn't it feel good when you told them about the victory He can bring? Amen. Anybody ever done it? How many has ever seen somebody that was just stumbling around out there and wasn't trusting God, and you were kind of tough on them? You were saying, they ought to get up there and trust God. I get so mad. They are always near. They never get. They're blah, blah, blah. And you're blah, 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 blah. And then all of a sudden you have your day, your grand day. Can you say amen? And when your day comes, suddenly, amen, you know what they're doing isn't near as bad. It's not bad enough for you to get mad at yourself over it, is it? No, we make exceptions for ourselves. We just want to be the grand preacher. We don't want to be the one that walks this thing out in life. God said that's got to change. But it occurred to me. Amen. I actually prayed. I was in the floor. I couldn't breathe. My wife asked me, amen, did she want me to call an ambulance or something? I said, no, please leave me alone. So I laid all night long in the fetal position down in the floor. Sister, I know what you have felt. There is a sense of impending doom, the doctors say, when a major organ. And I know one thing. I was smothering and I couldn't breathe. And I was laying down there on the floor and I had my knees up and I was taking those little bitty breaths just to get enough oxygen to stay conscious. And at one point I felt like that I was passing out. And I thought, if I'm going out, amen, I'm not supposed to be afraid of death. Kind of like a voice was telling me, you're not supposed to be afraid of death. You're a Christian. Amen. And so I was going to be a real Christian and real spiritual. And I remember saying, because this is spiritual battles and there's some real issues here. I said, I had it in my heart and it was coming up in my mouth to say it. Into thine hands commend I my spirit. I'm telling you, if I'm going to stay here and smother, I want to get out of this body. This is a terrible feeling that's over me. And I'd rather be home with you than locked in this body in this condition. Can you say, I've told my wife, if it ever comes time for me to come home, don't put me on no life support. Put me in God's hands by prayer. Don't keep me artificially living. Amen. When it comes time for me to go, please let me go. Love me enough to let me go. Can you say amen? Come on, love me enough to let me go when it's time. Because I got somewhere to go. I don't want to sit there with a ventilator keeping me alive for 3 more months while I lay there in all that mess. I want out of this.